WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Several European leaders meeting in London have agreed to work on a ceasefire plan for Ukraine. Britain's Keir Starmer tells the BBC.
We've now agreed that the United Kingdom, along with France and possibly one or two others, will work with Ukraine on a plan to stop the fighting, and then we'll discuss that plan with the United States.
It comes days after Ukrainian President Zelensky and President Trump had a fiery exchange in the Oval Office. Israel has cut off delivering humanitarian aid to Gaza after Hamas refused to extend phase one of the ceasefire there. And CBS's Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem reports Hamas is angry.
Hamas said the Israeli move to cut off aid to Gaza is, quote, cheap extortion, a war crime, and a blatant attack on the ceasefire agreement. Hamas urged mediators to force Israel to reverse the decision. Israeli officials say enough aid has entered the Gaza Strip to last for several months, but Hamas says continued aid is vital for the 2 million Palestinians in Gaza, most of whom have been displaced.
Firefly's Blue Ghost has now landed on the moon.
Feels like the landing. We're on the moon.
And that upright and stable landing makes Firefly the first private outfit to put a spacecraft on the moon without crashing or falling over. There are still a lot of unanswered questions about the death of Gene Hackman and his wife, Betsy. CBS's Tom Hansen reports.
Many of the theories on how Gene Hackman and his wife could have collapsed in separate rooms and died have been ruled out. There appeared to be no signs of a struggle, no trauma, no forced entry, nothing to indicate foul play. Investigators believe Hackman likely died at least 9 days before the bodies were found. They say the best hope now for unraveling the mystery surrounding the death of a Hollywood legend could be the discovery of two cell phones collected as evidence.
Well, make sure you pick up some good snacks worthy of Oscar watching tonight. Our Deborah Rodriguez takes a look at the race for Best Actress.
A month ago, critics predicted Emilia Perez, Carla Sofia Gascon was on track to become the first openly transgender actress to pick up the prize. But that was before she was shunned for unearthed racist tweets that called out the Oscars themselves. Enter another acting newcomer. Honora's 25-year-old Mikey Madison was a surprise winner at the BAFTAs for her role as a stripper. And speaking of nudity, 62-year-old Demi Moore has been hoovering up first-time precursor awards. Then there's Broadway vet Cynthia Erivo. An Oscar for Wicked would make her an EGOT winner.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Heading into the weekend, the tariffs from the Trump administration are set to take effect Tuesday, and Wisconsin farmers are bracing for impact, and some of them know what's coming after being hit by Trump tariffs in his first term. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Michael Slattery has run his farm in Maribel for 25 years. He grows corn, soybeans, and canning vegetables. In 2018, when Trump imposed tariffs on China and it retaliated, Slattery says he lost 60% of his revenue. He and many other farmers were left with a surplus of product with nowhere to sell.
It takes decades to build up stable market relationships between an exporter and an importer. And so we were losing our biggest importer of agricultural produce because of these Trump tariffs.
Farmers would be affected twofold, as tariffs would also raise prices on things like fertilizer and equipment parts that are essential to farming operations. In 2023, Wisconsin exported almost $4 billion worth of agricultural products, with China, Canada, and Mexico as some of its largest trade partners. Trump says he plans to once again impose tariffs on those countries. Economics professor Thomas Kemp at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire says Wisconsinites would feel the impact.
You'd see pretty significant increases in prices in American goods markets, and you'd also see American firms looking to alter their supply chains, which I'm sure they are already creating contingency plans.
When Trump issued tariffs during his first term, he promised to increase the number of jobs in the U.S. That didn't happen. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny to mostly sunny skies. A light southerly breeze developing this afternoon with highs in the mid-30s. A few more clouds around tonight, mid-20s. Partly sunny Monday with highs in the mid-40s. Monday night, there will be a chance of rain after midnight. Right now, it's 10.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and from the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point, chair of the musical theater department, Mark Hansen. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, I just want to introduce myself in a good way. And I don't know, Haley, if you wanted to, but I'm going to do it too. I'm just going to say, Ahu, hey, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade, Hinga Dana. I just said my name's, I'm Ho-Chunk and my name's Distant Thunder.
Oh, I love that, Dega. That was very cool. Hi, everyone. Hey, Nan, Shay Karagi, we, Ho-Chunk Raja, Chasha Pe Wangawe Ning, King Day. And I say greetings to you all. My Ho-Chunk name, or that they call me, is Little Eagle Princess.
Yes, and underline the princess.
Oh, yeah.
At least that's what I hear. Hey, we got a big show going on today. We have Ruth Anna Buffalo coming on in a little bit. And then we have, who else do we have here?
Yeah, we got Deacon DeBoer coming back on, who is with the Minnesota Historical Society and Native American Initiatives. Going to be subbing in for our friend Rita Walczak Arndt, who is in New York, one of your favorite places, Robert.
Absolutely. Have you been to New York?
Just once. It was for like a quick 24-hour trip, and we did most of the sightseeing, yeah, all in that 24 hours.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we went to the top of the Empire State Building, you know, where you could go outside and they have the big fence up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been there a couple
pretty
times.
Pretty windy.
Been there a couple times. I love it up there. Yeah, that's cool as heck. Hey, I sent you something that I'm trying to find it right now real quick here. I sent you something, must have been through... Yeah, there it is. It was crazy. I did see our Red Lake president speak on behalf of his nation, and it was great. I saw Samantha Skinador in the background, who's Ho-Chunk, and her brother is president of Ho-Chunk Nation, and she's a big-time lawyer. And Sam Strong's there in Washington. I saw a picture of Sam Strong and Tina and the president of Red Lake up there testifying and really speaking the truth. It was good to see.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you for being out there in Washington and providing a seat at the table for us in our community.
Speaking of Washington, Ruth Anna Buffalo, who's she is known in Washington and has friends in Washington, so it's a good segue. Ruth Anna Buffalo, welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Well, we can. Oh, there she is. Hey, Ruth.
Oh, wow. Hey,
Ruth Anna.
There you are. Hey, welcome.
Hi.
Well, we were only knowing because yesterday we had a kind of a gaffe going on, so we thought maybe that was happening again. We didn't know that you were busy working and jumping in on this. We appreciate you, Ruth Anna Buffalo, President and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Thank you so much for coming on. And looks like you got new glasses. Very cool.
Thank you. Yep, new glasses.
Right on. Hey, a lot going on. What's going on? Maybe we can talk a little bit quick about what are things going on at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
Sure. Today we just hosted our first Resource Connect. It'll be every Tuesdays from 9 to 3 in the community room. This is, again, assisting with the community-led efforts for our unsheltered and getting connected to resources, including housing. So that'll be every Tuesday, 9 to 3 in the community room at MIWRC. We're calling it Resource Connect. There will be meals provided as well, breakfast and lunch. And so that was today. First one, and then it'll be every Tuesday. And then let's see, we have Thursday, the Eagle Feather case making event that has been highly anticipated. That's Thursday. Registration is full. And then that is being in partnership with Juanita. And then on Friday, we have a couple different events. We have our family night in the evening, and then in the afternoon, we have our Native survivor support group. That's pretty awesome. Both events are pretty amazing, have a meal provided. And then on Monday, we have our monthly caregiver support group, which is mainly grandmas that show up, you know, grandmas taking care of their grandchildren. And that is Monday in the community room from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., I believe.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that's kind of some of the things happening right now.
Just cool to hear that there's an organization that's been around for 40 years, that's been doing this for the community this long. It's just so great for us to be able to amplify that and know about what's going on too, because, you know, I'd like to get one of those little make one of those little things for all the eagle feathers I have here. Oh,
yeah, for sure. It's a popular event. We also have a medicine bag making on deck for next month. So there's lots of different events, you know, regular scheduled programming with some new programming on the way as well. So be on the lookout for some new programming in partnership with our community members. So yeah, just really wanting to uplift and amplify amazing community workers, community members who have been doing the work, you know, all along, and we're just here to help continue strengthen the partnership.
Yeah, that you are doing. And I see there's a picture of, looks like somebody in the background, basketball. I'm wondering, are you able to get out and take some shots during, we talked about that last week, to get the, you know, the blood flowing and things like that? Are you able to do some free throws?
Yes. Yes, for sure. I had one of my old Indian ball, independent ball buddies. She used to play rugby for KU. Yosh, she's a trio director at Haskell Indian Nations University. We used to play on some traveling teams together, but she reached out the other day and was like, so, you know, first of all, like thanked me for reaching out and checking on her during last week's news of all the layoffs and things. And so she first thanked me for that and then was like, so you've been playing any ball lately? And, you know, so I'm like, yeah, first time in like 10 years since I was last in Kansas, you know. But yeah, my son has a game tonight. He's a high school senior. He's playing in Rogers. So we're going to be heading up there. And then, you know, really thankful for the different community-led efforts here in the Twin Cities area with the Red Bears. You know, our twins are part of the 11U team. And so, you know, they practice, they have practice, when they can, they attend the practices because they are also committed prior commitments with the team here in the area that we reside in. But yeah, we were at the park board last Wednesday to show support for the Red Bear team. And again, and there's going to be more support needed for a future park board meeting on March 5th. So if you can continue to show up and support the Red Bear team, they do such amazing work. And it really is important to have, you know, the Red Bear team stay together. We've seen the impacts that it has on our native youth, even on our twins. You know, our twins have improved a great deal in their basketball game and are more connected to the native community, have made friends and gone to their friends' houses, you know, or other college basketball games as a result of being a part of the Red Bear team. You know, so it's just a really amazing thing, and it's not unfamiliar to us in Indian country, you know, but out here and off the res in the urban cities, it's needed even more so. So, Madzigadads, thank you.
Hey, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the next segment. I'd like to dig a little deeper on that, Ruth Ann, if you don't mind.
Yes, no problem.
Excellent. Hey, right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. I'm awake, and I'm here with Haley and Ruth Ann of Buffalo, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee, 540 WAUK.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, who's president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we were talking at the end of the last segment a little bit about the basketball situation here in the Parks and Recs Board. And, you know, we need to support our young ones. Can you tell our audience basically what's going on?
Yeah, the park board, Minneapolis Park Board, is changing the registration guidelines criteria to where the Red Bear team cannot stay together, you know, and there's other teams too. So it's, you know, as they say that term, BIPOC or Black and Indigenous people of color are being impacted. So there's groups up on the north side of Minneapolis who strongly oppose this. As well, and there's been a lot of media coverage on it. Like in the Star Tribune and the Minneapolis Park Board has been quoted as saying, like, there's basically translation of, like, no disenfranchisement is happening here of communities of color, you know, and that their streamlining of this process is not disadvantageous to anybody, but it really is just kind of a repeat, you know, of unfortunately poor policies and bad behavior that is not helpful to our communities.
So they're mixing all the teams up. So in other words, the neighborhood teams or all native team or all African American team has to be split up and be put on another team. And then so you're not with your friends or your community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even like coaching, you know, you can be put with a different coach. And I have some opinions on that too, where, you know, a lot of our, there's just a difference with coaching, you know, coaching when you're under a native coach, who looks like one of your brothers or uncles, mm-hmm. there's just a difference of unconditional love that really is missing, in other communities where it's just a additional barrier. And so, I've witnessed the love and care and attention that, the Red Bear team, the coaching staff provides to their youth, and it's really invaluable. It's just an amazing, it's a protective factor. You know, we talk about risk factors and all of the different areas that impact our Native youth. And there's so much strength and love in the approach that the Red Bears bring to the table. And I'm really proud to have our twins a part of the Red Bear team, even if it's just brand new right now in this moment, but it's things that we've already known and that we've experienced throughout our lifetime of, you know, these things work, you know, that's why it's a great deal of healing. I mean, we've been fortunate enough to play on a women's basketball team that's all Native, and just the love and care, you know, that we give one another, or just the humor, you know, or the baseline understanding of the struggles and the things that we encounter on a daily basis as moms or as women, being Native, and then in the Twin Cities urban area. You know, it's a good, mm-hmm. huge support system and a huge piece of community, I believe.
Wow, well said. What is their pushback, that it's easier to put these teams together, or is it cheaper?
Yeah,
or
what, I believe what is their... so. It just sounds like streamlining and having it be more centralized, you know, like a management thing, a management decision. But it's, I mean, even if it's like a... inconvenience for them, you know, like for a few people, why make it a huge inconvenience for entire populations? Where, I mean, loud and clear, that meeting last Wednesday, one of the speakers from North Minneapolis asked, you know, those of you who oppose this, please stand up, and the whole room stood up, you know what I mean? So it's, there's like loud and clear people who are against this, but so we're hoping, you know, the Minneapolis Park Board does the right thing, especially for our youth. You know, our youth need all the love and attention and care that they deserve, especially in today's day and age, for sure.
Absolutely. So it's almost again a thing that I always talk about is erasure, and coming and melting us in and not respecting our indigeny, if that's a word.
I agree. And I just think back to like certain times throughout my lifetime where I've experienced things. I mean, even being on like a college basketball team where, you know, one of my friends, teammates and I, we joked a lot, laughed a lot. We were Native, but the coach chose to like split us up. You know, I mean, it's just kind of like, I don't know if people are aware of these, of their behavior, you know, that those blind spots of like trying to, can't think of the word right now, but you kind of get what I'm saying, where it's just,
absolutely,
yeah, it's uncalled for. And I just think it's like, kind of like, what are they afraid of? What are they scared of? Why not be proud of keeping, you know, supporting, you know, teams that want to be together, let them stay together. If it's working, you know, leave it, you know, it just seems like there's a big disconnect for sure. But
yeah,
I'm new,
especially,
here, so that's my disclaimer.
Well, especially when the person asked everyone to stand up. I see your cat wants to get in, and maybe we can do a sacred animal portion too before you leave.
Yeah, it's my daughter's cat. She's super clingy. Panda. It's her name.
Wow. People that aren't watching this on Facebook or YouTube or Blue Sky, you're missing out. That's a cute cat. Yeah, we used to, well, good on you and good on the people that are standing, because anyone that, you know, the old saying that I grew up with is people who stand for nothing will fall for anything, you know, and I'm good on you for being there and the other people in the community. And hopefully the Minneapolis Parks and Recs Board will hear this. I heard whispers about this with my work with the Met Council, and there's a friend of mine that works. I don't know if she's a liaison for the Minneapolis Park Board, but she told me about this coming up, and it's just hard to understand where they're coming from and what their thought process is about this. Because, again, you know, it's good to be with a community, and it's also really good for community to beat other communities in basketball. You know, right. It's a rivalry. And, you know, it's part of it.
The Red Bears team, their team, they're really good. They're talented too. You know, they have a strong, I would say, tradition of really getting some talented kids out of their program. You know, so it's hearing the stories too. You know, last Wednesday the women were sharing with me how the team came to be, and the stories behind it, you know, are just really heartfelt and significant to what we experience throughout Indian country, and how basketball is a healthy outlet. It's a way to, mm-hmm. of healing. And I mean, think of like even Jim Thorpe, or, you know, world's greatest athlete, and how he coped with being at a boarding school, you know, and that's something that resonates with a lot of us, you know. A healthy outlet when you're away from your family or away from your community. And many of us are, you know, connected to our tribal communities, but are here in the Metro Twin Cities area. And to have that connection through basketball, it's tied to a lot of our stories too, that go way back, you know, beyond these times, you know. So it's important, but it's just kind of sad to see the same thing be repeated in a different way, you know, so.
Right. Well, again, good on you. And also, I know I've heard stories over the years with my uncles, knowing certain people that I didn't know they knew each other, but it was through sports, through basketball, through softball, that, you know, and it's lifelong relationships. People like me because they knew my uncles playing softball, that, you know, were older, and you didn't have to explain who you were, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like when we were growing up, or when we were maybe at our peak as athletes, you know, it was before the age of social media. So it's all, you know, word of mouth, basically. But yeah, and I'm like, oh my gosh, am I getting a Minnesota accent? I kind of hear it coming out. I'm like,
oh yeah, you are. You betcha, Ruth.
Help, guys, help. No, I'm just kidding. But
it's a resi Minnesota accent. Oh, what?
For sure.
But yeah, I just showed up to help with the Twins. I mean, you know, and to have the Twins there, and last Wednesday to see all the youth, you know, who had signs, and we were watching it on YouTube, the park board meeting last week, and I heard little kids yelling at the end, you know, like, and just to hear them, like, just was like, oh my gosh, just got me like choked up. So it's for the kids, you know, just being a good relative, being a mom, showing up and wanting to see, you see something good and you want your kids to still be a part of it, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good on you. And when is the next meeting, or when are the decisions going to be made?
I believe it's March 5th, same time. I think at 5:00 at the Minneapolis Park Board, March 5th. And I believe the Metro Urban Indian Directors Group will be providing a letter of support as well.
Is that when they're making the decision, or is that when the next meeting is?
I believe that's the next meeting, and it could potentially be when the decision is made, for sure. But I would definitely reach out to Mukwa. He's the head coach of the Red Bears, or Jolene at NACTI. They got a lot of kind of spearheading those efforts of bringing community together to support the Red Bear team.
Oh, that's cool. I want to get a t-shirt too, and I'll go support them right after the show. Ruth Anna Buffalo, a big Pini Gigi, thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for being an important part of all the communities that you're in, but especially here in the Twin Cities. A big Pini Gigi, thank you.
Lots of good odds.
We'll see you. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, Haley, and we'll be right back after the short break.
Stay with us.
Hoa.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer says several countries have agreed to work on a ceasefire plan for Ukraine.
We've now agreed that the United Kingdom, along with France and possibly one or two others, will work with Ukraine on a plan to stop the fighting, and then we'll discuss that plan with the United States.
The plan emerged following the major blowout between President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky on Friday. Hamas does not want to extend phase one of the ceasefire deal, so now Israel's cutting off the delivery of humanitarian supplies. CBS's Linda Gradstein.
Hamas said the Israeli move to cut off aid to Gaza is, quote, cheap extortion, a war crime, and a blatant attack on the ceasefire agreement.
A private company landed on the moon this morning.
Just like the landing. We're on the moon.
The mission of Firefly's Blue Ghost is to do some NASA testing to help support the trips of future astronauts. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks win in Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks picked up a win against the Mavericks, 132-117. Now the Mavericks are shorthanded with Anthony Davis out, but was that one of the better performances of the year? Doc Rivers.
Yeah, I thought the two things, like the defensive execution and the offensive, you know, we've been preaching this all year. You find a set, you stay on the set. Do not go away from it. I thought we did that three different times in the game in a different set and scored on every option. You know, the power with Giannis in the post, just kept getting different baskets out of that. The rub pick and roll with Dame or Giannis coming off the five. And that's a good lesson for us. You don't need to go to anything else. If that's working, then exhaust the options. Our shooting was, as what we say every night, we have great shooting. And if you help with Giannis or if Dame gets to the paint or Kuz gets to the paint or Scoot, we get shots, and that's what happened tonight.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny to mostly sunny skies. A light southerly breeze developing this afternoon with highs in the mid-30s. A few more clouds around tonight, mid-20s. Partly sunny Monday with highs in the mid-40s. Monday night, there will be a chance of rain after midnight. Right now, it's 10.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you're headed to vote in New Hampshire's traditional March town meetings and need to register, bring proof of citizenship documents with you or you won't be able to vote. 20 other states have similar legislation pending. New Hampshire's HB 1569 eliminated sworn citizenship affidavits, subject to fines or imprisonment for lying, as evidence of citizenship. It now accepts only a birth certificate, U.S. passport, or naturalization papers. There is no evidence of any widespread non-citizen voting in the state, and the law was immediately challenged in federal district court as unconstitutional and an unreasonable burden. President Donald Trump's recent unfounded claims of widespread non-citizen voting generated a rush to tighten proof of citizenship legislation around the country. Voting Rights Lab is tracking 35 proof of citizenship bills in 20 states, many based on model legislation pushed by former Trump election lawyer Cleta Mitchell and her Only Citizens Vote coalition. Just this month, proof of citizenship bills were advanced in Wyoming and Missouri. 18 other states are considering bills adding proof of citizenship requirements, and the pending SAVE Act in Congress would require it for federal elections. A 2024 study by the Brennan Center for Justice found 9% of Americans don't have ready access to their citizenship documents. We have links to the Voting Rights Lab tracker and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Badger basketball game over the weekend and also find out whether we still have a country. If we do, join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Historical Society, preserving and sharing Minnesota's heritage for the benefit of all Minnesotans.
Yes, they do. Hey, we have our friend Deacon Bauer here, and he is a Minnesota Historical Society Native American Initiative Program Specialist. Welcome back, Deacon. Good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys, too. Hamitaki AP. It's really nice to see you. Yushkan Wachia Kapido. Rita, you know, kind of wrote me into this tonight in a little bit of a way. She's over there in the Big Apple. So right. We're in the Mini Apple, and I will do my best to talk about some MNHS updates.
Right on. Well, geez, it's great to have you back again. And can you remind listeners what your role is and where you work and a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I work at the Minnesota Historical Society in the Native American Initiatives Department. We do multifaceted work within that department, as Rita has highlighted in past episodes. But for me, my work is really core to cultural resource stewardship or cultural resource management, as it's coined in some other areas. Most likely academia is where you would hear that. But cultural resource stewardship for MNHS looks like a lot of different things. For us, it's applications of traditional ecological knowledges to the landscape for our 26 different sites. We have both those 26 sites plus our partnership sites and our mound sites. Those are our priorities for our Native American Initiatives Department and our work that we do. And then other than that, we also support all of our other programs. One of our programs that's going on right now for me that I'm facilitating is the Reconnecting Our Roots Native Teen Program.
Cool.
So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about I don't know if that is that the museum fellowship or is that something different?
That's a little bit different. So, very different. Two different programs.
Whoops.
So the Native American Museum Fellowship is going to be coming up here in the summer. The priority deadline for the application is going to be March 21st. So it's actually coming up here just in less than a month. We have the flyer actually that I shared with Haley. So we can pop that out and we'll be sharing that out with local schools, universities, tribal colleges, but also communities because we have a new portion that's being added to this session of the Native American Museum Fellowship, because you might notice that it used to be called the Native American Undergraduate Museum Fellowship, which originally, you know, it was really key to undergrads, folks that are in the university field, rooted in academia, and wanting to get their toes into the field of museology and understand the resources of MNHS. But now, you know, we're kind of retooling that and we want to address our community relationships, the relationships that we have both in state and out of state, throughout the Ojibwe, Shakowin, Ojibwe communities, Ho-Chunk. It's paramount for us to have one of those, more than one, those folks involved in this program. So that's going to be known as a community scholar going forward that will be a part of that program. So this application is not only for undergrads now, it is for all that want to be involved.
Awesome. What would they learn? Would they learn where the secret mounds are that nobody knows where they are? Or what would they learn doing this program?
No. We do have a cultural resource stewardship portion that will be working with us in our archaeology department and thinking about care and stewardship in line with that traditional ecological knowledge perspective, but also from our state statutes and working in consultation with our TIPOs, our tribal historical preservation officers throughout the state. So that would be an internship that'd be a part of this program. So it's a 10-week program that has internships that are rooted in what the students, what they want to do. So we have a few different internships that are open, and they can check those out. But for a few examples would be the one that I just mentioned in cultural resource stewardship. But then you could also do one rooted in collections, maybe doing something along the lines of inventory work, collections management systems. You could also do library work. You could work with the archaeology department and do even more hands-on soil probing. We've had people do that in the past. You could also work with our department directly, doing research and some narrative construction, which that is a very heavily tasking thing right now with our Northern Lights textbook that's being revised, and then also our signage that's being updated at almost throughout our sites network.
Wow. Lot going on, Deacon. Jeez. Yeah. That's amazing. I had no idea, really. That's amazing. So somebody that maybe is Ho-Chunk would like to know what was going on down maybe, down by Mankato Way or Blue Earth Way and what was happening there. I know there's a book that the Minnesota Historical Society just published this year, Banished, that's gotten a lot of raves and reviews and a lot of sales too. And so that's just part of what Minnesota, you guys do down there at the History Center and the Historical Center.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I need to add that book to our Native, we have an employee resource group for our Native community at MNHS, and I should add that book to our book club. We just got done reading The Service Berry by Robin Kimmerer.
Wow. And then our friend too, Sandy Whitehawk, she just published two through you guys last year and did really well with her life story. And I know there was a documentary a few years ago called Blood Memory that she was in, and this is her whole life story, and it was really interesting read. And that, if you don't have that one on there, that might be a good one too, Deacon.
Yep, these are all great ideas. I appreciate much, Robert.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I'm big picture guy, and Haley is details. Thanks, Haley.
Yeah, you're welcome. Is Kimmerer is also the author that wrote Braiding Sweetgrass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a really popular one too. I remember when I was taking my American Indian Study courses at the University Twin Cities or the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, Braiding Sweetgrass was one of the books that they gave to us to read. And I still know people reading it today. I know book clubs that are introducing it. So it's a big hit too, Braiding Sweetgrass.
Well, that's cool that they gave it to you, because I had to pay a lot of money for my books when I went to the U.
Oh, yeah. They gave us braided sweetgrass too with each book. So that was really cool.
That is very nice. Yeah. Very the cool. Reciprocal relationships that she defines really in that book, I mean, in her own opinion, but I think in a lot of our own life ways opinions and how we would kind of reciprocate into our own lives, that book kind of sounds off very well for us. And when I say us, as in our cultural resource stewardship division that we're trying to build up, a lot of those teachings and lessons that she gives throughout her, both the Service Berry book and Braiding Sweetgrass, is something that, you know, we would like to add into our repertoire in terms of how we work.
Well, you know, what is the community scholars, you know, is that something different too, or how has that been added to the Native American Museum Fellowship?
As in the community scholars edition?
Yeah. Yeah.
So with the community scholars, as kind of what I was trying to get at with the addition of going away from undergraduate, we are including all of community members. So before, it was really geared towards undergraduates that were in university, and it wasn't really open to community members in that, right? Just to be honest, to be brutally honest, and that was something that we wanted to address this year, was changing that and making sure that we had our relatives in our community that were also wanting to be a part of this program, and a lot of internships and resources that are available, especially in building up, you know, your resume and getting into this field of work. It's not necessarily always easy, especially in the world that we live in today. There's a lot of jobs that the History Center has that are actually pretty contested and not easy to get. I mean, you should see how many people apply for the jobs at the Historical Society. It's pretty vast. So I think these Historical Society jobs, they're thinning out. And I think getting into this program is a really great opportunity for folks to also explore their own indigeneity in Minnesota Mocoche as well.
Wow, really, really good points, Deacon. And I've been down there more than I have in recent years, and it's just amazing the programs that go on down there. I was down there for a Ho-Chunk talk. There was an author and a Ho-Chunk historian there, and it was so well attended, and it always, you know, I'm always going, well, who wants to know about this, you know, other than Ho-Chunk? But there is people are yearning to know Minnesota history, especially the Minnesota history that hasn't been taught.
And if I can add something to that, yeah, I so agree with what you're saying, because we need folks, we need Native folks in these spaces. Minnesota Historical Society has, you know, historically neglected that relationship. Just in the past, you know, 25, 30 years has that begun to change, really since 1989, when the Indian Advisory Committee was formed, is when relationships were started and builded. I don't want to elaborate on that too much, but that is really important for us Native folks to be in these spaces.
Absolutely. Hey, Deacon, we got you for another portion here, another segment. And this is a really interesting talk. We are with Deacon DeBauer, and he's with the Minnesota Historical Society, and he's a Native American Initiative Program Specialist. And we're going to be right back. This is a really interesting talk, and I appreciate you. And we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding, or clean water protections, or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. Howl.
Howl. Woo.
I'm here for the wolves.
Wow, I'm here for the wolves too, but I just had a super phlegm ball shoot up out of nowhere, and that's not good when you're my age, Haley.
No. Also, I'm just going to keep laughing about that.
For the Timberwolves.
Yeah. I'll have to replay that and edit it out and replay it.
Wow, geez. Hey, we are here with Deacon D. Bauer, and we are having a really heavy-duty conversation. I really appreciate it. What else would you like our listeners to know?
There's a few things about reconnecting our roots right now in terms of updates on the teen program. I briefly mentioned it earlier because it is currently going on. We're in the second week. Or we just got done with the second week. We'll be going into the third week here now. It's every Thursday. It runs from 4 to 8. It's a kind of an after-school program in that, right? And going forward, we're going to be going to the Bell Museum this week. Last week was all about collections. And then we went to the library and archives and introduced this. We have 7 students, and we introduced them to the History Center and really Historical Society work. As I was just saying earlier, it's really multifaceted, especially as you go throughout the Historical Society. Not only in our department do we do a bunch of different things, but throughout library, archives, collections, there's a bunch of different jobs and a bunch of different opportunities and interests. So we explored those at the History Center. We had a meal. And we played a little bit of trivia as well, or rather, I guess, we went to the exhibits and answered some questions. We had some hard questions for them as they went around, and after that, we gave them some gifts. So it was a really great night. But going forward, we're going to go to the Bell Museum. We actually have a planetarium show with Dekshi Jim Rock. That he's prepared with the bell there. It's going to be something new that I think a lot of people should look forward to going forward. I know they have an Ojibwe planetarium show as well. So I guess a little plug there for about Bell Museum that I don't know too much about. Mm-hmm. But looking forward to how they explore that going forward. And, we'll also be viewing their exhibits and collections. And then we'll also be going to the James J. Hill House, which a lot of people are kind of like, why would you bring your reconnecting our roots group to James J. Hill House, which that's really core to talking about the narratives that live there in terms of hypercapitalism versus a gift economy. And we also are going to have Madge Duchesneau come and do storytelling. And Fern Cloud come do a hide painting workshop. So we're really excited for that night. And we'll also be going to the Mill City Museum. And you might wonder why the Mill City Museum. One is they have a kitchen because we're going to be doing a food sovereignty demo with Derek Nicholas of Wiesenig. And then also I really like that spot because of its presence towards Awamini Omini. There's a lot of story there that we can touch on for those students. And when we talk about reconnecting our roots, you know, this is a program geared towards students that are really searching and finding their own identity and indigeneity in Minnesota Makoche, as I mentioned earlier. So it's a program that has a lot of opportunities as well.
Mm, it does. You know, it's interesting. I was saying that I was down there last week, and our relatives, Haley, have been always asking me when I go to the Minnesota Historical Society, where there's recordings of Helen and Howard McKee Jr. down there. And I keep on asking about that. And lo and behold, about a year ago, somebody said they found those recordings. So there's things that that the Minnesota Historical Society has that, you know, they don't even know sometimes. And it's really cool because our history has been recorded in so many different ways and so many different facets. And it's just really, I love history. So it's really cool for me to go down there and talk about that or ask about that.
Yeah, that's one thing, too. I think the last time we had Rita on with us, she was talking about the different things that the History Center offered for Natives to kind of reconnect with their family. And I think she mentioned the Ancestry DNA was kind of a free resource that people could come and use to track down family members. Is that true?
Yeah, at our Gale family, or the Gale Family Library. I think the full title is Gale Family Research Library. But we both have a microfilm area or lab, and you can view all of the microfilm that we have, which is almost all the newspapers that you could think of in Minnesota. And then as far as ancestry goes and genealogy research, great resources for free, which you would normally have to pay for ancestry outside of the Gale Family Library, but you do have to be on site at the History Center to be using that. But you can build, you know, your family tree over time. So it's a really great resource.
Yeah. Wow, Haley, that's awesome.
I know. I made sure to remember that. I was like, that's a huge resource for people.
And Haley, we always talk about, too, that Thursday nights is party night down at the Minnesota History Center, too, right, Deacon?
I was just going to say that. Thursday nights are our late nights, open till 8. And our librarians are really great. Just want to give them a shout out that I don't think our library is open till 8, so our exhibits are. But
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then it's free that day too, isn't it?
It is free, indeed.
Yes. I can afford that. Hey, Manny White Eagle. Hey, he used to work down there too, Ho-Chunk, representing there, Manny.
Oh, well, Manny.
Cool. Well, before we let you go, how can people get a hold of you or get a hold of the Minnesota Historical Society? Is there a Facebook, a website, or let our people know before we let you go?
You can either reach out to us and find us on Instagram at mnhs.info, or you can also find our NAI page at Native American Initiatives on both Facebook and Instagram. And then we have a department page at mnhs.com/Native American Initiatives, I believe, is what the department page is. I might be wrong on that, but Rita can get on me for that.
Right, Haley. I think it's .org for organization, right?
MNHS.org /NAI.
Cool. Yep. Well, yep. Deacon, thank you, Big Peeny Geeky. Thank you for coming on and speaking your truth and doing all this great work and putting up with me. I really appreciate it. And, you know, have a great day. And we'll see you at the Minnesota Historical Society.
Opita Tonka, thanks for having me. And yeah, thanks for dealing with my rambling as well. I can really talk.
That's good. That's good. That makes a good radio show, Deacon. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Peeny geeky, Deacon.
Yeah, right on. Wow. Have a good rest of the night. Yeah, you too. Thanks. Wow, that was awesome, Haley. A good question. I forgot about that. That's really good information. It's always great to have somebody from down there, and I say down there because I'm, you know, close to Minneapolis, so I'm looking down towards St. Paul.
Yeah. Well, the Minnesota History Center is, I believe, off Kellogg in St. Paul, so look that up on your GPS.
That's right. That's right. Hey, great show, great producer. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Earl Ingram.
It's Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show, and I have a fantastic guest ready to chat about the latest developments in both local and national news. Be sure to tune in and find out.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings, 8 till 10.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks? Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Britain is hosting a summit of leaders from more than a dozen countries working on a peace plan for Ukraine. Prime Minister Keir Starmer.
We have to bridge this. We have to find a way that we can all work together, because in the end, we've had 3 years of bloody conflict now. We need to get to that lasting peace.
Israel has cut off humanitarian aid to Gaza after Hamas refused to agree to extending phase one of the ceasefire. CBS's Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem.
Israel says the U.S. has proposed extending the ceasefire for the Muslim holiday of Ramadan and the Jewish holiday of Passover.
A history-making moon landing early this morning.
Firefly Aerospace just became the first commercial company in history to complete a fully successful moon landing.
The lander's mission is to do some NASA testing to help support the trips of future astronauts to the moon and also to Mars. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.